Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, this is kind of our base verses that we're kind of dealing with. We're dealing with what I call the defense of marriage. And it's just becoming plain to me that our government is not going to defend what is the basis of any sound and proper civilization. The basis of any sound and proper and ordered civilization is marriage. There's no way around it. When you see the crumpling of marriage, you see the destruction of the society. It had happened in Rome. It'll happen in America. It happened in Sodom. It happened in Gomorrah. It happened in all those towns that God destroyed back then, and it will happen to America. And if the church does not stand up and rise up, and I'm not saying we got to go out and protest and picket and throw a bunch of stuff like they do, you know, like weird people do. But I'm just saying, if we'll just take a stand and say, this is how it's going to be, and I believe in what God said, and I believe in His Word, and though I be weak and God is strong, I'm going to ask for God's help. Because I believe that marriage, I believe that my marriage is the single most important thing that I'm doing other than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you that if your marriage is right, then you will serve the Lord right. Can I hear you say amen? If for some reason, if the marriage is not right, then the ministry is not right. And I believe every Christian has some kind of ministry that you have. God called you to be priests before Him. God called you to be a minister of some kind, somehow, some way. Not everybody's preaching, not everybody's prophesying. But God gave you something in your life that you do. And I want to tell you something. If your marriage is not right, then your serving God is not right. And that's just how God made it to be. I've known preachers and heard of preachers who had the popularity of thousands of people, but their marriage was a mess. It was a catastrophe. It wasn't right. They put on a show in front of everybody. Now I want to tell you something. I don't want that. Lisa and I just spent a lot of time talking while we were gone. And I don't want to come up here and make it sound like, boy, we've got it good. And if you could just be like us, I don't want it to sound that way. And I don't want to be found out to be a fake and a phony and a fraud. If my wife does not love me and respect me, then why should I ask anybody else to be? And God had to show me that. In fact, God showed me that before He ever let me pastor a church. God, right after we got married, I thought, well, I'm going to go back to Bible college. I'm going to get me a church, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And God said, no, you're not, you little boy. You need to grow up. You need to learn how to take care of a wife. You need to learn how to take care of a family. You cannot do what I called you to do, Mike, until you learn at home how to do those things at home. And God's very wise. And God made me love a wife. And God made me learn how to work a day's work and take care of a wife and children whose mouths never stopped and their stomach was always empty. Amen. Especially when I had snack cakes up in the pantry for my lunch. And I would go and grab an empty box of Little Debbie's. You know what I did? I tried not to throw a fit. I said, you know what? That's my children. I'll get another box of them. But I'm telling you, if your marriage is not right, God's not going to bless anything else until your marriage is right. And this, the whole thing of me preaching this and talking to you about it is that I think we need to go back and look at marriage, because it is essential to understanding God's plan for His kingdom and His church. Do you agree with that? Say amen. Let me just show it to you from the scripture. You're there in Genesis chapter 2, and I'm going to read Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable and in all, and the bed undefiled. That is a key component of what marriage is all about. It is honorable in all, and the bed should be undefiled. And we all know what that's talking about. So let's look in Genesis chapter 2 again. Let's go through these verses here. And the Bible says, let's look in verse 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. God pulled her right out of his bosom, right next to his heart, right in a place where she still belongs. And the Bible says in verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Did you know that Jesus is coming back? Can I hear you say amen? You know who Jesus' Father was? It was God Almighty. Amen? It was God Almighty. You know who the Bible says is the mother of us all? New Jerusalem. Did you know that Jesus left His habitation in heaven? He left there and He came down here for one reason. To be with His bride, to be with His wife. So just kind of ponder that, think about that. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. God, there should not exist in a marital relationship shame of any kind. Can I hear God's people say amen? Now, I'm not going to preach even a PG-rated sermon on this. I'm not going to turn the pulpit into that. But I just want you to understand the concepts that the Bible's trying to teach you. That inside of the marital relationship, there should never be any kind of shame in that. Let me hear God's people say amen. Now, I want to show you something very quickly. Turn to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. I want to show you how, I want to show you the basis of our civilization and how we do things still exists. And God is the one who set it in order. God is the one who set everything in place. And man right now is trying to defile what marriage is all about and what it really is. And today I'm going to try to teach and preach a little bit. I preached last Sunday that marriage is good for the man. That's what the Bible's teaching us. But I'm going to show you from the scriptures what marriage provides for the woman. Now I want you to look in Genesis chapter 5. And can I ask everybody to do this? I'm going to ask you to do this. And I'm going to ask all you ladies that are sitting here today and those of you watching. I think I know you well enough to know. I think you're going to have a good attitude about this. But ladies, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. And I'm going to probably preach more to the men than I am the women today. But ladies, in the whole process of me preaching this whole series of messages, would you do one favor? Would you forget yourself? Just forget yourself and what you think the world has told you you have a right to, and what the world told you you should have, and how the world told you should have it better than this and better than that. Would you forget about what all your Facebook friends tell you about your husband? Would you forget about what the world is trying to preach to you, and Oprah Winfrey is trying to tell you that you should be the dominant, well, you should do this, and you should seek your own fulfillment, and you should search for yourself? Can I get you to just put that away and listen to the Holy Spirit? Can I ask you to do that? Because if you don't do that, you are going to be mad at me before this done. You're going to be really upset with Mike Hargett and some things that I'm going to say. And those of you who know me well enough to know that I'm fair biblically. I'm not going to give anybody anything that is not for your best interest according to God's Word. Ladies, you have to understand that God loves you. You need to understand that. You need to understand that your Father in heaven made you a woman. He is the one that designed you the way that you are. He gave you the gift of womanhood. And God, I can see in the Bible how God in many ways blesses and uses a woman, even so in greater ways than He uses men. But I'm asking you, ladies, would you let the Holy Spirit deal with you? And don't have an attitude about how wrong this sounds or I don't like that or whatever. Can I just ask you to please to just put it away for a while and let God speak to you? Can I hear God's people say amen? Because here's one of the first things I'm going to give to you. This is in Genesis chapter 5, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. I cannot apologize for what I did not do. God did not make the woman first. God made the man, Adam, in his image. I'm sorry, all you liberals out there. God is not a woman. God is not a female. And I'm sorry to anybody that's been lied to by somebody where occult doctrines have slipped into the church. God is neither both male and female at the same time. That's a heresy. That's a lie. If you ever try to shove that down my throat, I'm going to shove it back. The Bible teaches us that God is masculine. He is our Father. He's not our mother. He is our God. He's not our goddess. God is he, not a he, she, or not a she. So when God made the first human being, He made him masculine. He made him a male. In the image of God made He him. That's male. I'm not going to apologize for it. God shouldn't have to either, just because you don't like that. That's how He made it. But then God decided, out of His grace and His love, that His man should not be alone. It's not good that His son should be alone. So I will create a woman for him that will be satisfactory to him, that will be a blessing to him, and they will be a blessing to one another. And I should ask you, just ladies, how would you like to have real, honest to goodness blessings in your personal life? How would you like to be satisfied and fulfilled and find fulfillment in life? How would you like to have an inner peace? I know that's a lot of what ladies talk about. That was, well, I need to find satisfaction. I'm not happy. I need this. And I have needs and this, that, and the other. And it seemed like women like to talk about that. And the world has all kinds of ideas for you on how you can achieve that. And it's usually in contradiction to the Word of God. But do you think, ladies, just for a minute, do you think that because God made you, that God loves you? Of course He does. God loves you more than any man ever has loved you or will love you. God loves you more than that. In fact, I heard this. I don't remember where I heard it from, but I don't know who it came from, but I tell you what, I agree with it. Ladies, if you're trying to find personal happiness and satisfaction and contentment and peace in your husband, you're looking in the wrong place. Your satisfaction, your personal peace, your contentment, and everything that you are needing in your life should come from the Lord first. Can I tell you why I said that? Because there may be a situation, there may be somebody sitting here, there may be somebody watching, who you're a woman, and you're trying to get your husband shaped up so you can look up to him. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. But you've got your whole life invested in your husband. And let me tell you, it's a story that we know, and I'm not going to mention the whole situation. But I know of a woman who left the Lord to follow her husband to make it easier. She left the Lord so her and her husband could get along. Ladies, don't ever do that. If your husband dies and goes to hell, you don't want to follow him there. You don't want to follow him there. So even if, ladies, your husband never turns out to be who you want him to be, you can find out that God, your Maker, is exactly the man you've been looking for all your life. We had a lady going to church here. She just recently got saved. She had turned from a life of drinking drugs and sleeping around and everything like that. And she got happy. And she told me, she said, I went to work one day and one of her co-workers came up and said, "So, who's the man in your life now?" And like, you know, who's the boyfriend you're shacking up with? And she said, "Jesus, I love him." She found the guy that she had been looking for all her life. She found that one. So ladies, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Can I hear an amen out of somebody? Sister Betty, you're back there shaking your head. If I can just talk about you just for a minute. Okay, Sister Betty is one of the ladies in our church that have lost their husbands. He's died and gone on to heaven now. I can't wait to see Brother Lee. I miss him dearly. So does she. But you know what? She's like my mom. She's got to keep on going. She likes Sister Waymire and Sister Bernice and many of these others. They got to keep on going. You lose your husband, life's not over with. You still have your Maker, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come in and satisfy you and to give you what you can no longer get from your husband anymore because he's gone. Am I saying that right, Sister Betty, Sister Bernice? Am I saying that right? That's exactly right. Sister Waymire, we know her. We love her dearly. She has mourned the loss of Brother James ever since he passed away. And that's been, what year did he pass away? what was that, 90, 91, 92, somewhere around it. I don't remember. But anyway, he's been gone that long. And she misses him dearly. But she's sitting at home today. Guess who's over there with her? The Holy Spirit. So ladies, if you look into your husband, look past him, find Jesus. Can get amen out of God's people. Anyway, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Now look at this, male and female created he them and blessed them. Now watch this now. And God called their name, T-H-E-I-R, God called their name what? Adam. When Sweetie Pie said, I do, I think, 1987, July 10th, it took her about a week to stop signing her name, Lisa Leonard. And she had checks. She was telling me about it. She said, Lisa, and she'd L-E, and then she'd have to scratch it out and write Hog Guard on there. Leonard just sounds better, okay? Now she's got to be the Hog Guard lady, okay? Let me tell you where that, see, every woman in here, see, I've lost three daughters now. They don't bear my name. One of them's a Holanda, one of them's a Higgs. And one of them's a Reynolds, okay? That's always Courtney Hoggard to me, and Lindsay Hoggard, and Alicia Hoggard. But they're not mine anymore. They're yours. She's yours, buddy. You got her. Huh? Yeah. I used to tease Sterling. We used to work together, and I'd say, Sterling, you better be nice to me. I'll send her back home, and there's three more just like her. And he went, oh, no. Oh. I've already got one at home. Do you know where that comes from? The man does not take the woman's name. That's wrong. The woman does not keep her name. That's wrong. You say, I don't like that. Listen, you've let the world give you a new morality that will not make you happy. Will not make you happy. God called their name Adam. That was Mr. Adam. I've been to Mexico. Señor Adam. Señora Adam. Did I say it right? Señora is Mrs. Señorita is not Mrs. Señor Adam. Señora Adam. It is the woman Adam. Mrs. Adam. Mrs. Hoggard. Mrs. Crum. Okay? That's who you are now. Do you remember, some of you older folk, do you remember a time when a lady did not even respond to her own name in public? She was Mrs. James Waymire. You remember that? I have a news clipping of the groundbreaking of this church. And on there, you remember Jewel Dean Adams. Okay? It lists her as Mrs. whatever her husband's name, Adams. That was back 1972, somewhere around in there. We've lost that. We've gotten away from that. We have let Gloria Steinem and these other lesbian women tell you women, you need to be liberated from men. You need to be out from under them. You need to get out from under their domination. And so what has happened in this country is what we are dealing with right now. The fact that women have gotten, watch this now, they have gotten so far away from being under the blessing of their husband that now they have turned to female sodomites. And if you don't think that's rampant in this country, it is more rampant than you can possibly imagine. With Katy Perry becoming a star to these 12 and 13 year old girls and singing to them, I kissed a girl and I liked it. We now have teenage girls that think nothing of being in bed with another girl or another woman, and they think it's natural and normal. That's how far we've gotten. I'd say, ladies, I'd say it's your job to defend what marriage is. And I got to say this, and I don't know how, it's already 12. I don't know how far I'm going to get into this, but let me just show you where I'm going with this. I'd mentioned the biblical purpose of marriage, three things. Number one, for the good of the man. Preached that last Sunday. Today, for the saving of the woman. The salvation of the woman. That's what it's for. Because, and the scriptures will bear this out, I won't have a much of a chance to get into it today, and I'm going to pray all week long about next week's message, about preaching this aspect of it, because I want to make sure I understand it, I want to make sure I get it right. But the Bible is very clear. Paul said it this way, it wasn't the man who was deceived in the garden, it was the woman. It was not the man. And the devil, who did he know to go to? Who did the devil, the serpent, the deceiver, who did he know to go to? He knew he couldn't go to Adam and get by with it. So he went to the woman and deceived. And you and I are in sin because she is the mother of all living. You and I are in sin right now because of that. And the woman needs to be saved. Now, I'm going to show you just a little bit of what I'm talking about here by way of illustration. Sweetie Pie is holding Liam. So, Courtney, would you come up here for a minute? Come up here. Okay? Huh? You know what? Bring Liam up here. That'd be a good illustration. Okay? I don't want to embarrass Steve because, you know, okay, but I'll embarrass my daughter. Okay? Come on up here for a minute. My daughter is going to, she's going to be my wife just for illustration purposes. Get your mind out of Potosi, all right? And Fredericktown, okay? Just for illustration, because in a lot of ways, Courtney is like Sweetie Pie. Lindsay is too, and so is Alicia. They'll eat up with her sometimes. But anyway, I want to show you this, okay? Now, where did God pull the woman from? Right here, okay? And Lisa's, how tall are you? You're about the same height as your mom, aren't you? Okay? This is how, when Lisa and I are walking around, this is how it is. She is still in my bosom, right where she came from. God designed it that way. God designed my skeletal structure, for the most part, to be larger than that of a woman. God designed and gave me a muscular system that, for the most part, is stronger, better equipped, and can actually get bigger than a woman. A woman who works out will never be able to attain the muscle structure that a man who works out attains to. God designed it that way. And God, and here's actually what she's doing is actually what I wanted to illustrate. And I'm just showing you out there how God designed everything. God designed it. Husbands, listen to this. Because actually this is going to be more on you than it is your wife. God designed you to be the savior of your wife. Let me show you how. If Lisa and I, and when we were going into Mexico, I mean, we had heard, you know, there was drug lords down there. We were kind of, I almost didn't go. I didn't tell her that. I got scared before we ever crossed the bridge. But in going down there, I thought, you know, we're just going to see how it is. But I made sure that she was right there with me, walking, sometimes walking ahead of me. So I keep my eye on her. And as soon as you cross the bridge, here comes people at you. They're wanting to sell you stuff. They're wanting you to get in their taxi cab or whatever. But I wanted to be there with her, and I had my mind made up. If somebody came over to us that I didn't trust, I was going to push her out of the way and go after that guy myself. It is my responsibility to protect my wife and my children. My responsibility. It is not your wife's responsibility. Men, it is yours. Because if the devil wants anybody in your family, I guarantee you he doesn't care much about you. He wants your wife and kids. I guarantee you that's laid out in the scripture. Now I'm also going to show you this too. God designed girls different than he did boys. Because boys grow up to be men and girls grow up to be women. In school, when guys were carrying their books around, how did they carry them? Why? Because this is where, on me, this is where the cell phone is. This is my tools. This is where the tool belt is. This is where the sword is. This is where the holster is, Jared. This is where the pistol and the bullets are. They're right here, handy. I don't have to pull it out of my sock or anything like that. They're right here. And God designed men. When we're boys, it is a natural thing for us to walk around like this. And when we grow up, you wear a tool belt? Where do you wear it? Got your pants pulled up? So you can't wear a tool belt in the right place if your pants are pulled down. Stupid. Okay? You know how Courtney used to carry her books? What is she doing now? God designed girls to nurture the children. God designed men to protect and to save. So guys, that's on you. And some days, she may not be a whole lot worth saving as far as you're thinking, but she's your wife. God ordains it that the man be the protector of the wife and the children. That's how God designed it, guys. And if you don't love her, thank you, Sparky. You can go sit down. If you don't love her, you won't care. If you don't love her, then while she's home alone, you're out somewhere else running around. You listening to me, guys? I'm pretty rough on you guys as far as I think a man, when he gets off work, I think he ought to go home. I think the man ought to go home. And I worked in construction, and I know what us men are like. They want to run out to the tavern, run out to the pool hall. They want to get half liquored up before they even get home. Hey, that check that you're earning all week long should go home to feed your wife and kids, not for you to booze it up all week. Amen. Ladies, I've got your back now, I'm telling you. I'm going to try to preach this good so that you understand how God designed it. But God designed it so that the husband is the savior, the protector, the guardian of the wife and of the household. Men, stand up and do your job. When I got a death threat, right after I had shoulder surgery, I showed it to Lisa. Actually, he threatened this entire church. He said, I pray that somebody comes in and shoots up everybody in your church. That's what the guy said. I turned him over to the police. My wife, who was there to help me, said, we need to go get a concealed carry license. And I listened to her. And I realized that it was my responsibility to protect her and my family and my church. I'm not trying to scare everybody. We've had peace here. We've not had anybody try anything. But sitting in this building right now are well-armed men who are watching the entrances to this room, because we have undertaken the responsibility that we love Sister Bernice and Sister June and Sister Betty sitting back there, who could not fire a weapon. and defend themselves. We're not going to let anybody hurt them. That's our job. Can I hear some amens out of people? My boys, Antonio, Stephen, Michael, if he was here, he's working this morning. I'm going to tell you, men, I'm going to tell it to you good and straight because I love you and I care about you. You better protect my daughters. You better protect them. You better care for them enough to where you watch over them. Don't let anybody harm my girls or my grandchildren. I love you. I love you to death. But those girls are precious to me, as precious as my wife is. And it's my job to be her savior, to be her protector. Don't let anybody hurt her. And I can't do that if I'm running all over the place in bars and taverns and running off with this group and that group. I can't do that. I have to be home so I can protect her. That's the only reason why we keep that little rat dog in our house who wets on the carpet about every day. That's the only reason why I keep that dog in that house, is that dog will let fly in the middle of the night if someone comes walking in my house. That's the only reason why she's there. Okay? So I'm just, guys, I want you to ponder this. Ladies, now listen to me. When you let the feminism of the 20th and 21st century creep into your mind, you are willfully removing yourself away from the protection that God designed to be over you. You know what I'm saying? You're on your own. You're on your own. I would die before I let some man crawl in bed with my wife or take her away somewhere. I would die first before I let a man do that. Ladies, you turn yourself over to the feminism of this world, you're on your own. You say, I don't like that. I don't think that's good Christian. Listen, that's right out of the Bible. And next week, I'm going to show it to you. Okay? So remember, just put all your fallacies and all your attitudes, put them in your purse somewhere, just get them away, and just say, Holy Spirit, deal with me about being the woman that you called me to be. And then deal with my husband about being the protector that you called him to be. Let's stand to our feet, and I want us to bow our heads. Matthew, if you just put this one of these cameras just on me, son. I want you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. Every eye closed. The camera's not on the church or anything like that. They just got a camera on me. And I just ask for just some honesty in God's house. Okay. This is for the men first. You say, Pastor, I ain't doing my job. And I need help with that. God had to help me, guys. I'm just being honest. God had to help me. Pastor, I want to do my job. Will you pray for me? Will you raise your hand? Appreciate that. Appreciate the honesty. God bless you. God will honor that. I promise you He'll honor that. Ladies. Pastor, pray for me because I've got an attitude about a mile long, and I realize that me trying to wear the pants in the family is removing me from that protection, and I need help with it. Would you raise your hand, ladies? Appreciate that. God will bless that honesty. I mean it. He will. Thank you. Thank you very much. See, that didn't hurt. I didn't call your name out. Probably past this afternoon, I probably won't remember who did, but I'm going to pray for y'all right now. And I promise you, and Lisa knows this, and we talked about this while we were away. Everything that I preach, Lisa and I have struggled with in our marriage. We've struggled with just about everything, including this issue. Who is going to wear the pants in the family? Who's going to be the protector? Who's going to be the boss? Who's going to be the leader? So, and God has worked it out for us, and He still has to help us because we ain't right yet. God will help you. I promise you He will. So this morning I'm going to pray, and if anybody feels compelled, you can come down to one of these benches here and just pour it out to God. Maybe husbands and wives can do it together. It's up to you. I'm not pressuring you. But we are going to pray. And if you raise your hand and you're honest enough, God bless that honesty. You pray this morning, all right?